beginning in chapter 11. Last week, if you were here, we had some people here, but the weather, boy, I tell you, don't take for granted church. I mean, to think about the last 11 months, we've been between COVID and the weather, the last, you know, canceling services. I just hate it. I hate canceling service. And again, I'm thankful for live stream, but it's just not the same. And I go back when I was preaching to an empty congregation or empty building and knowing people were on live stream, there's nothing like being together, singing the songs and just worshiping the Lord together. God knows what He's doing when He says to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And I'm not minimizing all of the things that have gone on the last year. I just have been reminded that God knows what He's doing. So anyhow, last week from our text, we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians now for quite some time. And many times messages, I believe, or thought patterns in the text can many times be brought down to one word. I mean, in last week, if we just had one word for the message of last week, it would be profitability or what is profitable. Actually, what is profitable is three words, but so I have to think, is profitability a word? Okay, good. Praise the Lord. You know me, I sometimes have to make up words, but profitability, what is profit? What profits others? And that's what Paul was talking about when he said, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. And then he said this, whatever you do, whether it's to eat or to drink or to live, whatever it is, do all to the glory of God. And that's man's ultimate responsibility is to give glory to God. And you're not glorifying God if you're not being profitable to others. Now, we know this church has got a lot of problems that Paul is dealing with. That's clearly seen. There's a lot of disorder. And so he's going to move on now in chapter 11 as we're going to read. We're going to read the first 16 verses. And later on, we're going to find there's disorders in the Lord's church. There was disorders over leadership. There was disorder over many different things that I'll look at in just a minute. But I believe that the main thing that we're looking at today is disorder in the church. Disorder in worship. Doing things out of bounds, if you would. So just stay with me and let's read the text. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. And by the way, it would be. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Now let me just stop here and say, the feminist movement would not like 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But it's still in the Bible, and we still must make sure that we understand the principle that God is speaking here, and that is this one word, order. Order. God is speaking about order. And we're going to look at that. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man having long hair, it is a shame unto him? Now even nature says that. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Order in the church. Order in the church. Father, thank you for the Word of God this morning. May we look at the principle that is very evident in the text about order. And I want you to thank you, Lord, that there's order today in nature. There was order in creation. There's order in the home. There's order in church. There's order in salvation. And I pray, Lord, that we might understand the meaning of the text in which we just read today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Order in the court. The honorable judge so-and-so is presiding. How many times have we heard that? Whether it's watching a film or a movie of a courtroom setting, or maybe you've actually been in a courtroom. And maybe there's a little gibbering and jabbering going on. And as soon as the judge gets ready to make an entrance, the bailiff will say, "Order in the court. The honorable so-and-so is presiding. All rise." The judge will sit down, say to be seated, and wrap his little gavel there. And that means that there is to be order in the courtroom. Anybody that goes outside of the order, the bailiff, as they say, can have them removed. So in the passage that we read today, we have order in the church. Except this time, the God of the universe is presiding. This is God's order. This is what God would have us to know. This is the Apostle Paul saying to the church at Corinth, you've had disorder in the church. There's been divisions over leadership. There's been disorder over discipline. There's been disorder in lawsuits in the church. There's been disorder in attitude in the church. There were problems with murmuring and idol worship and fornication. There was a disorder in marriage in many ways and how they looked at it. And now there's disorder in worship, and it has the attitude of the women and coverings. When you look at this section of Scripture, the main principle is how people get out of order. And you can get out of order. You can get out of order in the home, the church, the society, and all such as things. And you go back to the day in which Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. The truth was that in the Roman world, women in many ways were looked down upon. But in the church, women were equal. Does everybody understand that? No matter how the culture may perceive women in the past, the present, or the future, the truth is when we are in the house of God, we're all equal. And even though we're all equal, and we are, and I'm going to bring this out, even though we're all equal, we serve different roles because we are different. Men are different than women, and so there was a little bit of an attitude going on here in the church. And they were bringing disorder and they were showing disrespect in the house of God. So it just seems from the text that we clearly read, there's some women that have decided to flaunt their Christian liberty by not covering their heads in public worship. Now, we don't in our culture say that you have to cover your head in public worship. In fact, if you go back to the text, Paul's going to make something clear that needs to be understood, that a woman's hair really is her covering. And so the idea is the appearance of the woman needs to be different than the appearance of the man. There's a difference between men and women. And so Paul really is talking about an appearance and how that they are bringing bringing disorder in the church, if you would, by flaunting their Christian liberty and by not covering or giving proper submission to what their role is in the church. Now, let me just say something. Let me say a lot of things, because there's a lot to be said from this passage of Scripture. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it's level when you get saved. And I want you to understand there was people that were abusing, again, the order in the church. And Paul is responding to this situation really by showing that men and women are not on the same level as function in the design of God, even though we're equal. In fact, I know many women that are much more spiritual than many men. I know many women that are much more intelligent than some of their men counterparts. I think most men marry up in the first place. Sometimes I look at a man and say, how in the world did he get that particular woman? Many people say that about me. I tricked her. But the principle, and by the way, I don't care what the world and the culture tries to do with the genders, bottom line is man will never have a baby. But man don't want to have a baby. And that goes to show you right there, women are much tougher than men in many instances. So it's not about equality. It's about order is what Paul is talking about. It's about order. And he's going to show us, hey, there's order in nature. There's order in the redemption of, there's order in salvation. There's order in creation. You know why? Because God is a God of order. And so there has to be order in the church. There can't be chaos in the church. Everybody can't stand up and preach at the same time. There must be order in the church. Everybody must be in subordination in some way. And the principle of subordination and authority pervades the entire universe, whether we like it or not. You know why? Because a lot of people like to talk about how rebellious they are rather than how much that they are in order. And Paul shows that the woman's subordination to the man is really a reflection of the greater truth of subordination in nature and in salvation and in creation. Let me just make sure that you understand when Paul begins to talk about in verse 3, he says, Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ. You know what you call that? Order. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had, and I'm going to make this statement at least twice, but if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had not submitted to the will of God, redemption for mankind would have been impossible. And we would forever be doomed and lost and on our way to hell. If individual humans, beings do not submit to Christ as Savior and Lord, they are still doomed and lost. You see, my friend, there's always going to be submission in the world. And to be saved, you must submit to Jesus Christ. You must have repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, my friend, He is Savior and He is Lord, and every man must submit to Christ. Nobody in their right mind would ever say that God the Father and God the Son were not equal, because they are equal in essence. Jesus would make declaration, I and my Father are one. But yet at the same time, the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus said, I came to do the will of my Father. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, as He is on His way to the cross to pay for the sin debt of all mankind, Jesus would say, not my will. Not my will, but thy will be done. So everyone from the biblical perspective understands that God the Father and God the Son are equal. But at the same time, there is God's order, and Christ submitted to the Father. And if women do not submit to men, then the family, society, and church are disrupted and destroyed, and there's confusion. You want to know why there's so much confusion in the world today? Because people have got things out of order. And chapter 11 speaks about that. Children become confused because there is no order in the home. If there's no order in the home, there's no order in the church. If there's no order in the church, there's no order in society. You know why society is messed up? Because churches have gone the way of the world. And most preachers would never preach chapter 11 today, because they would be accused of saying that women are inferior to men. And you didn't even hear what I said, because that's not the truth. That is not the truth at all. whether on a divine or human scale, subordination and authority are 100% of God's plan. And when we stay in God's plan and we submit to His authority and we get saved, there's peace of God that passeth all understanding. A home that is out of order, where the children run the home, or the woman runs the home, or the wife asserts authority over the husband, or does not submit in the right way with the right attitude, and the husband becomes tyrannical. He's an ogre. He's a force. He's not a servant. He doesn't love. He's out of order, and she's out of order, and the children are confused about the whole situation. And my friend, that's exactly where we're at in many homes today. And Paul says this can't be. There has to be order. Paul is seeking to restore order by reminding them that God made men and women different, and therefore men and women have their own roles. And if you get those roles confused, or decide you think you know better than God, or we're going to be progressive in our way of thinking and we're going to do it, then you're going to confuse your children. I'm telling you right now, let me just say this to the ladies. You have much influence. Much influence. And we must not let the culture dictate what the role of the man and the woman is. And in the case of Corinth, they were bringing a disunity, a disharmony inside the church. Let me tell you something about military. Military has order because military has rank. Now, let me just tell you, someone that is an officer and someone that is an enlisted man, an officer is not more important than an enlisted man. They must both play their own role in the military for the military to be efficient, for it to go the way it's supposed to go. And we need to understand something right there, that the military understands order. Why do we think that in the home and the church and society that if we get out of order, that it will not be confusion? Now, I want you to see that I also believe that verse number 3 makes it very clear that there is order in salvation. What do I mean by that? Well, head, the word head refers to the ruling and sovereign part of the body. If you cut your head off, you ain't going to be nothing. And you are not to bring... You are to be subordinate to what your head tells you to do. So like this. Now, I know this is, but when my head tells my hand to do this, it does it. My hand is in submission to my head. We're to be in the submission of our head. Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. He loved the church so much, He died for the church. And God has order. You know why God has order? That we might be saved. If Christ, I'm going to say this again, I think I've already made this statement, but if Jesus Christ had not submitted to the will of God, redemption for mankind would have been impossible. But aren't you glad that Jesus Christ was submissive? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But you know what Jesus had to do? Jesus had to submit Himself to the will of the Father and go to the cross and die for the sins. And then He had to take the blood and place it on the mercy seat in heaven. Why? So that we could be saved. God is a God of order in salvation. Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Those who willingly submit to His authority. Now listen, you can't get saved unless you submit to the authority of God. You bow your neck up, you cross your hands, you say, "I'm not going to submit to anybody." Listen, unless you submit, by the way, He's the King. And if you want to get into the kingdom of God where He's the King, you have to submit to His authority and become a part of His kingdom. And those who rebel against His authority are forever lost. I think order is very important. The opposite of submission is rebellion. Men rebel against God's order by not being saved. The rebellious unbeliever ignore God's salvation, but one day even they will acknowledge their subjection to Him, because the Bible makes it very clear that God is in ultimate control of all men now and forever. And every knee shall confess, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. Amen. So you'd be better off to submit to His salvation now rather than having to bow and being thrown into the lake of fire. We must submit by repenting and trusting Christ as Savior. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Proper order, proper authority. We're bought with a price. Christ is the head of the church, and He is the and therefore there is proper order. We do not make laws in the church. We live by the laws that have been given to us by the head. Practically speaking, worship is out of order when a woman dishonors her head. What do you mean, my head? Your husband. And this was what was taking place in the church. For a woman to be uncovered in this culture that we look at dishonored her husband, dishonored her head. Now, I want to make it clear that in verse 15, the Bible says, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given for her covering. But if a man seemed, verse 17, now this I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Now, let me just try to put, I was trying to give a very practical example of this, but here's a thought that I had. In the culture in which we live right now, I've alluded to cultures of the 70s and men wearing beards and not wearing beards and what people talk about, all that in kind of time. But let me just tell you today. If a man shaves his head, nobody freaks out. But if a woman shaves her head, that ain't good. Did you know in the culture that they lived here, the only kind of woman that would shave their head would be a prostitute. And then many times they would wear wigs, but they would take the wig off to show people that they were a prostitute. God is saying here that don't bring dishonor to your husband. Don't bring dishonor. And even, oh, by the way, and I was looking and noticed that even in the Roman world, there was feminism going on and women would cut their hair real short to look like a man. And so now we have cultures where men have real long hair like women and women have real short like men. Well, why do you say that, preacher? Because doesn't even nature tell you that the appearance of a man and the appearance of a woman are totally different? And the idea is God has order for men and women just like He has order in salvation. Christ has never been before, during, or after His incarnation in any way inferior to the essence of the Father, but is in His incarnation, He willingly submitted Himself to the Father in the role as Savior and Redeemer. He subjected Himself completely to His Father's will as an act of humble obedience in fulfilling the divine purpose of paying for our salvation. So why would we not want to be submissive in the areas of life where we're supposed to be submissive, like men and women, employer, employee? You see, there's order in creation. There's order in salvation. You know, the Bible talks here about verse number 8, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. You see, when man was created, God took man out of the dust of the earth and He breathed in him the life. He gave him life and he was a very intelligent man. I mean, how intelligent would it be? Would you ever have named the squirrel the squirrel? I mean, squirrels are the squirreliest animal on the face of the earth. And Adam saw that and named him squirrel. He was very intelligent. But God saw that there was something missing. He needed something. And so God made him a help meet. M-E-E-T. A completer. He put Adam to sleep. Took a rib out. Formed the woman. And now we see that in creation, man, woman was created for the man. You know what that is? That's order. The principle of subordination and authority applies to all men and all women, not just to husbands and wives. And it goes beyond the family to all aspects of society. Because as I just read that, verse number 8, that's the basic order of creation. That is why God planned and created mankind. It is the way that He made us. Why would a woman want to be like a man? Why would a man, God forbid, want to be like a woman? And all of these people in our culture that want to blend the genders, make them all the same, they're confusing. I have been in places where maybe sitting on an airplane and sitting there and somebody walks down the aisle and I could not tell you if it was a man or a woman. That's confusion. So I made up this, I said, well, I believe that it's a shimi, a himshi. A himshi is Arabic for a confusion. Just joking, that's a joke. But a himshi means you don't know if it's a him or a she. That's confusion. That's not the way God intended it. Somebody say amen. Amen. It seems that most of the fads and misconceptions of the world eventually find themselves in the church. Just like we find here in this text. That is why we have women preachers and women leaders in churches. It's like people think they actually know better than God. And my friend, that's confusion. That's confusion. I've actually had conversations with people. Why don't you allow women deacons? Well, I don't. It's not that I don't allow anything. It's that I read the Word of God and God says, this is the order. Why do independent Baptists say no for women? I mean, we are called all kinds of names just for living or being subordinate to the Word of God. And God said, this is the order. And by the way, men are to be the leaders. And that's why people are so confused. Let's be clear. Paul makes no distinction between men and women as far as personal worth, abilities, intellect, spirituality, or concern. Both as human beings and as Christians, women are in general completely equal to men spiritually. I mean, I know women that are much more spiritual than their husbands. But some women, obviously, are even superior to some men in abilities and intellect, maturity and spirituality. But God established the principle of male authority and female subordination for the purpose of order, not on the basis of some kind of superiority, because it brings confusion. Let me give you an example outside of creation. An employee may be more intelligent and more skilled than his boss. I have no problem having people on staff that are smarter than me. I think I might just have admitted that David Harris might be smarter than me. But I'm the boss. Now, seriously. So it is very true. I mean, you know, I always look out for young men and especially young men maybe that are working at a job, and I don't care what it is. It could be at McDonald's, it could be at Staples. And you know what? I'm intelligent enough to know whether they're going to be here very long or not. You understand what I'm saying? You're like, now, that fellow's got it going on. I read a little book that was talking about this, and a kid, a young man was a waiter in a restaurant, because that's where you do waiting at in a restaurant. And I've jokingly said this, and it happened to me. Finally, it happened. And so anyhow, this young man goes up to his guy that's going to order. Customer, that's the word. He said, can I help you with your drink? And the man said, yeah, I'd like to have a Coca-Cola. And the young man said, well, we only sell Pepsi here. Would you like Pepsi? To which the man said, no. And there's a difference between Coke and Pepsi. I'm sorry. Now, I'm from the South. I'm a Coke fella. All right, I don't drink Pepsi. I don't like the taste of it. So he said, no, if you don't have Coke, just give me water. You know how many times I've said that in a restaurant? And this young man leaves and comes back and had a Coke. And the customer said, where did you get that? He said, across the street. He said, you want Coke? The boss said it was okay if I go get Coke. Here's your Coke. You know what the guy did? He hired the boy for his business. And recently, I did it again. What would you like to drink, sir? I said, I'd like to have a Coke. And they said, well, we sell Pepsi here. I said, that's all right. Give me water. And the lady said, or I think it was the lady said, well, I can get you a Mexican Coke. I said, well, why didn't you say that in the first place? Because I don't like, I'd rather have a Mexican Coke anyway. Mexican Coke's got real sugar in it. And that's what they call it. You can go to Sam's and get it. And when I, about COVID about did away with Mexican Coke at Sam's. And I was in serious distress. And I went to two Sam's. I said, well, you got to look it up and tell me where I can get Mexican Coke. They said, Rogers, Arkansas. I said, okay, well, I'm going to make a trip down there. But the day I go down there, I want to make sure that they got it. Well, about 3 weeks later, I was over at Sam's getting something else. And they had Mexican Coke. I bought 324 cases. Yeah, well, hey, you never know. COVID, mail, you might not ever get Coke again. So what I'm saying is an employee may be more intelligent or more skilled than their boss. However, a company cannot run without submission to proper authority. Even if some of those in authority are not as capable as they should be. That's sad. And again, I go back to the home because, you know, a man hears the, you know, my wife's supposed to be submissive to me, but it's in the right context. You're supposed to be a servant. You're supposed to be a servant leader. You're supposed to do everything that you can for your spouse, which means I got to go home and move some snow so my wife don't hit a pile going around the curb. That's right, Faith. I won't talk about how many hours No, I'm not going to go there. No, this is a great illustration. I spent all that time, and then my wife's like, well, you know, if you got the snow too far down, I can't get her. I'm like, woman, are you serious? I can't even hardly walk. I've had to take 29 Tylenol because, but I got to go move some more snow. Yes, dear, I'll do that. Deacons are to be chosen among the most spiritual men of the congregation, but there may be other men in the church that are even more spiritual. Yet for the very reason that they are spiritual, those who are not in position of leadership will submit to those who are. I'm not better than anybody in this church. But a church that submits... Well, what did Paul say? Let me tell you exactly what Paul said when it came to submission. He said this in verse number 1, be ye followers of me even as I also am of Christ. I've had people come, you know, there's the attitude of Korah that came up to Moses and said, Moses, we think that you have taken up too much on yourself. Who do you think you are? And you know who Moses was? Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. He was just the servant of the Lord doing what God told him. All tells us everyone needs to stay in their lane. You know why everybody needs to stay in their lane? Because God is a God of order. A wife may be better educated, better taught in the Scripture, more spiritual, more mature than her husband, but because she is spiritual, she will willingly submit to him as head of the family because it's God's ordained order. This is what Paul is talking about. There's even order in nature. There's order in salvation. There's order in creation. There's order in nature. That's why verse 14, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. Now, we have the hippie era of the 70s that is still permeated today. And COVID made people not get a haircut. Then have your wife do something. Because even nature says, you know what? That's appearance. When you look at a woman and you look at a man, and when you look at the appearance of them, you should not have to speak Arabic and say he, she. No. That's a girl. That's a boy. I like boys who have nice boy-cut haircuts. I do. I like girls who look like girls. What a concept. And it should be that way, not only in the church, but in society. Secular history at this time tells us, and I was reading a little bit about secular history at the time that Paul wrote this, liberation and feminism is not a new thing to our society. It's been in all societies probably. And during New Testament times, women would often take off their veils, take off their head coverings, cut their hair in order to look like a man. You know what you call that? Rebellion. That's rebellion. In our own culture, some women, they want to be treated exactly like a man. No, you don't. I don't want my wife, my daughters, and my granddaughters fighting in a foxhole somewhere. I don't want that. They're higher than that. They need to be placed on a pedestal, not in a foxhole, fighting like a man. And by the way, men and women are different. And by the way, can I say this? That the institution of marriage and the raising of children is God's order. Amen. And today we have people who live together. They have children together. And they never get married. And by the way, it's usually the woman who always gets hurt the most. And the children. By doing away with anything that gives a sign of femininity, they leave God's order. Marriage is for protection of society. And living together without a marriage commitment is a dishonor to God's order in society. It is likely that some of the believers at Corinth were influenced by those movements, just like there are many women who are influenced by the culture today to go outside of God's order. They protest. As with meat that had been offered to idols, there was nothing in the wearing or not wearing of the head covering itself that was right or wrong. It was the rebellion against God-ordained roles and orders that was wrong. And in Corinth, that rebellion was demonstrated by women praying and prophesying with their heads uncovered. Now, I want you to listen to this as I close. The authority and submission of all of these things I've mentioned, that whether it's creation, salvation, and nature, is based on love, not on tyranny. That must be spoken of. The Father sent Christ out of love to redeem the world. And the Son submitted to the Father out of love. Christ loves the church so much that He died for it. And He rules the church in love, not in tyranny. In response, the church submits to Him in love. Likewise, men in general and husbands in particular should exercise their authority in love and servanthood, not in tyranny. They do not have the authority because of greater worth or greater ability, but simply because God's wise design and loving will is that we live in order. I say this to ladies who've got teenage boys. You'd have to let them know who the mother is. But do you realize there comes a point where you must teach your sons that they are one day going to be leaders? The greatest way that that can happen is as sisters can teach their brothers how to be leaders. Have them open the door for you. Teach your brother, say, you need to open this door for me. I'm not going to pick up this thing. You're the boy. You pick this thing up. That thing weighs, and girls don't act like boys. Except if you want to throw a rock at them. I mean, I might think that might be okay. Something like that. You understand what I'm saying? Men do not have authority because they're greater worth or greater ability. God is a God of order. Women respond in loving submission as they were designed to do. This is not a matter of dignity or worth. It's a matter of task and responsibility. And guess what? God's order brings peace. God's order in salvation brings peace. God's order in creation brings peace. God's order in nature brings peace. Well, nobody's going to tell me what to do. There's the attitude. And you're out of order. Order in the court. How about this? Order in the church. The God of the universe presides. Let's all stand this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, thank you for the Word of God, the truth, the simplicity of it, the realness of it, and how it's played out in our life every day. God, help us to be in order. In order, Lord. Help us to be in order. If there's one here not saved by God's grace, may they understand that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Savior, submitted to God the Father's will that we might have the opportunity to have repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, help us in every area of our life, whether it's in society, church, or under you, that we live in your order by God's grace. In Christ's name we ask, amen. We're going to sing page 260, His Way With Thee, as Brother James leads us this morning. Now listen, there is order in salvation. God made a way for us to be saved. He sent His Son. If you're not saved today, you need to submit to His authority. But every other aspect of our life, we need to submit also.